Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
What's up, Braves fans? Welcome to an NLCS edition of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, our good friends and partners at the Tegna Corporation and the Odyssey Group. Locked On Braves and the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you a whole network of shows dedicated to your favorite sports teams across all of your favorite sports, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, college football, whatever, hockey. You're going to find a show that's tailor-made for you, the listener, on the Locked On Podcast Network. All you have to do is like and subscribe to your favorite shows on your favorite podcasting apps, and you'll be updated whenever a new episode drops. Like and subscribe to your favorite hosts. Let them know that you love them. Follow along the Locked On Podcast Network so they can do all the work you don't really want to do. You just want to know what's going on with your favorite teams. Follow along with the Locked On Podcast Network, and you will rule the water cooler with the Locked On Podcast Network and all of our Locked On shows. All right, so for Braves fans, this is a huge, huge day for all Braves fans. The Braves go out last night in a game that, personally, I absolutely thought you had to win. I did not think you could have any prayer of taking on Corbin Burnes in a win-or-go-home situation and come out on top. Luckily, Charlie Morton, going on 3 days rest, comes out and is just awesome. You know, it wasn't the sharpest that we've ever seen Charlie, but hey, man, it's a 38-year-old dude coming off of 3 days rest, went out there and put the team on his back and absolutely delivered. Fantastic outing for pretty much everyone involved. Oscar Anoa gave up a two-run shot, wasn't happy about seeing that, as I do think that he might be just kind of done, tired. I think his legs are gone. Either that or he never really has been comfortable with his hand since he's come back, because we've seen him struggle, and it's not just struggling, but we've seen him not throw the fastball for very long lengths of time. And that was one of the things that made Oscar so dangerous early in the year, was that fastball and the sliders were being used at almost the exact same rate. So it really was really tough to figure out which one he was using. But for Charlie, 3 1/3 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts on the day. Outstanding work from Charlie Morton. Now you can say, you know, it didn't look fantastic. He was all over the place a little bit. I mean, he threw almost 70 pitches. And then, you know, that's true to a point. He made an error. That's true to a point. But most importantly is Charlie, with the team needing to be able to do this because you needed to be able to save Max Fried and pitch him if you had to go to a Game 5, you didn't want to have to just go with a strict bullpen game. You wanted to give yourself a shot at getting somebody who's done this before. And Charlie has done this before. This isn't the first time he's gone on 3 days rest. This is exactly what you brought Charlie Morton in here for, and he went out and he did the job, and the offense did just enough. Finally, the Braves offense woke up a little bit the same day that the Brewers offense kind of woke up. Both of these teams got off to some runs. The Brewers made 2 runs early. They jumped up by 2 in the 4th inning. Braves immediately came back and tie it. Brewers jumped by 2 in the 5th inning. Braves immediately come back and tie it again. And then in the bottom of the 8th, who else but Freddie Freeman comes through and hits the big-time home run to take the Braves to the NLCS. Will Smith locked down, pretty much. Locked down for Will Smith in relief to close out the game. And the Braves now get to wait a little bit before they figure out who they're facing in the NLCS, as the Dodgers and Giants have gone to a Game 5. Essentially the best possible outcome for the Braves, as now the Giants and the Dodgers both have to throw their main starter. On Thursday night, you're going to see Webb going for San Francisco. I'm sure you'll see Max Scherzer going for the Dodgers, which means right now they have it listed as Julio Urias. We'll see how that goes. I highly doubt they're going to go into a win-or-go-home game and not have one of their main guys going. I mean, Walker Buehler went on Tuesday, so you know he's out. I would imagine it's going to be Max Scherzer. Maybe they feel confident enough with Urias to let him start, but if you're the Dodgers, it's a dodgy proposition, no pun intended, as the Giants have been beating you pretty much all season long. Both of those teams are going to have their work cut out for them. And if I'm a Braves fan, there's a lot of us feeling really confident saying, give me the Dodgers. I'm going to go the other route on here. Let me get this championship out of the way. Then we can focus on revenge. Let me get that easy title through there. Let me get the Giants, who are an outstanding team. Don't get me wrong. 107 wins doesn't happen by accident. But they are not the team I personally don't think they're a 107-win team on paper. I don't know what kind of voodoo they've been playing this year, but if I'm the Braves and you tell me I'm matching up against Logan Webb, who you wouldn't have to face for a while because he probably wouldn't be available until about game four, maybe game three. Anthony DeSclafani, Alex Wood, old friend of the Braves, Johnny Cueto, who's still kicking around, and Kevin Gausman, who revitalized his career. Yeah, I'd much rather take them on than have to face Scherzer and Buehler and Urias and Tony Gonsolin and that lineup of the Dodgers, which is just an unfair cheat code. I don't want any part of the Dodgers if I don't have to. Let us get the championship, and then we can go about facing the Dodgers. But for the Braves, you're sitting pretty. You're sitting in the nice spot. Your guys get to sit back, kick back, and relax now. You don't have to worry quite as much. You get to sit there for a little bit, watch these two teams fight it out, and then figure out accordingly. You got to have your champagne celebration already. Braves are on top of the world today. And for Freddie Freeman, that's such a big, big moment for him. That really, if you look at the course of Freddie's career, he hasn't really had a seminal playoff moment. For the most part, he's actually been pretty subpar, especially for Freddie standards in the postseason. I believe last year was the exception. Shockingly enough, last year, the one year that Freddie didn't play over 150 games. But hey, what do I know? Seems to be a direct correlation there, as Freddie really has not been playing very well even this postseason. But doesn't matter. Comes through in the biggest spot for the Braves of the biggest part of the season for them. Gets them to the NLCS. And pretty much just as Alex Anthopoulos here, here's a blank check. Write a bunch of these numbers on it for me so I can come back here and do this again next year. Wasn't all sunshine and roses for the Braves, as there was a little bit of consternation as Jorge Soler tests positive for COVID-19. So he gets pulled yesterday before the game starts. Christian Pache replaces him on the roster, which means not having Jorge Soler, that's a big blow to this team. I don't want to be all doom and gloom and say that they can't win without Jorge Soler, because they certainly can, but it does change the calculus of the lineup pretty substantially. And not just because you lose Jorge Soler. You also lose the guy who's been the guy who replaced your leadoff hitter, who also got hurt. There's all sorts of things that are kind of ponying into this. Dansby has to move up to the leadoff spot, and then you have Guillermo Heredia, who's going to be starting and hitting eighth at that point. So you've kind of made your lineup a little bit weaker. Dansby goes to the leadoff spot, where traditionally he hasn't been very good. Was very good, yes. Was good yesterday, though. I'll give him props for that. Started off the game right with a nice ring and double. Made some really good plays at shortstop. There's a lot going on for this Braves team as you head into the next round. Hopefully Jorge comes back during the NLCS. I think if he's able to come back, I don't think it would be until game 3 or game 4. Hopefully the Braves are able to stretch out a little bit of a lead and build themselves a little bit of a lead before then. Because you never want to have to be playing down in the NLCS. But the Braves, if they can do what they've been doing, this offense can string together 4 or 5 runs. That's about all this team needs. If they can score 4 runs, they've got the pitching to win based off that alone. They've also got the offense to win off of that alone. And they've got a substantially better bullpen than most people give them credit for. This is a team that's, quite frankly, a very, very well-balanced team. It's not always been the case this year. We know what it was like most of this year. But this is a good team. This is a team that can beat everybody. Heading into the NLCS, this is just what a year for the Braves. That this is the year where everything seemingly goes wrong. Nothing seems to work correctly. Can't win consecutive games. Can't get over 500. You lose Mike Soroka. The Marcelo Zuna incident. You lose Ronald Acuna Jr. Just blow after blow after blow after blow. And this Braves team just comes out on top. Finds a way to get to the postseason. Doesn't sell off like a lot of people wanted them to do. And they manage to get to the postseason. And get to the NLCS to become one of the final 4 teams competing for the championship of the 2021 season. At any time you get to a spot where you have 4 teams left, anything can happen in baseball. We've seen it happen time and time again. Very, very reminiscent of the 2019 Washington Nationals. And this is what I'm looking for the Braves. This can line up to where this can be the best path that the Braves have had for a World Series in years. I've been saying all season long that I thought last year, if the Braves had managed to get past the Dodgers, that they would have beaten the Rays pretty easily in the World Series. Well, this year can line up even better. If the Red Sox are able to take out the Astros and the Braves can take out their opponent, whether it be the Giants or the Dodgers, the Braves have a shot where I would legitimately consider them favorites to win the World Series. And it would be very, very Atlanta-esque for them to win the World Series in the season where they couldn't get above 500 for the first half of the season, where they could not win consecutive games for nearly a month, and where they lost their superstar fielder in Ronald Acuna and one of their franchise building block pitchers in Mike Soroka. That would be pretty much the most quintessential Atlanta thing ever, to just be a band of misfits gathered together at the trade deadline because you didn't want to sell, and you put together a team that can go on and win it all. That, to me, screams. That just screams Atlanta Braves. One of the other things that screams at me is the Spotify Green Room app. If you are looking for a way to get involved and feel like a part of the action, part of your favorite shows, or just join in on your favorite sports communities, the Spotify Green Room app is perfect for everybody, and I mean everybody. It used to be called Locker Room. You've heard us say that a number of times here on the network, but Spotify Green Room has you set up to where you will always feel like you're part of the action. Just download the app on iOS or Android now, and you can link your Twitter page to it. Follow along with your favorite teams, Locked On Braves, you know, I'm just saying, throwing that out there. Maybe any other Locked On team you tend to like to listen to or gather information on. Maybe you just want to talk to other fans and other insiders. Well, you can do all of that on the Spotify Green Room app. Just download it today, link your Twitter, and you will be rolling in. It's Spotify Green Room, changing the name of the game. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag is the only place I go to, guys, when I go to place a wager. Now, I don't place a lot of wagers. I'm not made of money, and I'm also kind of a jinx. But when I do, when I feel like I need to do some of that, I go to BetOnline.ag. And why, do you ask? Because they have the best lines and the easiest ones for me, a beginner, to understand. It's really simple, really easy. I like the interface, and the customer service is second to none when you're involved with BetOnline. You can find lines for all of your favorite sporting events and even some you've probably never heard of or watched before. It's a great way to get involved with a sport that you've been trying to get the hang of for any minute of time. Put some money on it and you will be invested, I promise you. But don't just take my word for it. Go to betonline.ag today. When you sign up, use the promo code LOCKEDON when you make your initial deposit. I'm not going to tell you what it's going to give you, but it is going to give you a nice little surprise. Hint, hint. Go to betonline.ag today and put your money where your mouth is with betonline.ag today. So, talking about what's going on in this postseason now, and there's been a lot of players across all season long, really, frankly, who deserve a ton of credit. I do want to focus a little bit on Freddie, because this year has been a very, very difficult year for Freddie Freeman. It started out really, really badly for him after the MVP a season ago. Expected gigantic things. Expected the same things from him, frankly, that we got last year, which probably a little bit too much to ask when you're talking about replicating a 60-game stretch over 162. And he wasn't quite what I expected. He wasn't, especially early on, wasn't what we expected to see from there. It wasn't the best season he's ever had, but he ended up being pretty much traditional Freddie Freeman. This is a guy that struggled to get up over the Mendoza line for much of the first couple months of the season. Ends out his season with 31 homers, 83 RBIs, 8 steals, scored 120 runs. Nearly as many walks as strikeouts, 12.4 walk percentage to a 15.4 strikeout percentage. That 15.4 strikeout percentage, that's the second lowest of his career, only behind last season. The ISO was down a little bit. The isolated power last year in 2019 were the anomalies for him so far. The BABIP dropped pretty precipitously. When he had a 366 over the course of 60 games, you're not likely to replicate that. But the overall line was pretty much vintage Freddie Freeman. Hit 300 with a 393 OBP and a 503 slugging, with good for a 379 WABA. That's good for a 135 WRC+, right in line with his career numbers. Actually, the lowest WRC+ he's had since 2012, believe it or not. Good for 4.5 F-WAR. Fantastic, fantastic season for Freddie. And this is a guy that I don't really care what number he throws out, that what he wants. You can't let him walk. There are certain players for certain teams that even if you acknowledge the fact that if you sign them to X amount of money, you are going to lose on this contract in the long run, even though more than likely that's what happens when you're going to give a guy who's in his 30s already and give him a longer deal, you're not going to have the benefit of it on the back end. The back end is not going to be as nice. It's going to hurt you at some point. But there are guys that you do that for. And Freddie Freeman is one of those guys. He is the heart and soul of this team. It's going to be Ronald Acuña Jr.'s team. Ronald Acuña is the most talented player on this team. I'm not going to mince words. I'm not going to try to pretend otherwise. Ronald is the best player on the team. But this is Freddie's team. Right now, Ronald is the Robin to Freddie's Batman. Freddie is the guy that everything runs through. He's the guy that the team looks to for inspiration. He's the guy they look to as the leader in the locker room. He's the guy they look to win them games. And he went out and he finally had his playoff moment. His, and I mean not the Braves moment, I mean his, Freddie Freeman's playoff moment, where he went out there facing the best, one of the best relievers, if not the best reliever in baseball, and mashed a home run off of that reliever's best pitch, first pitch of the at-bat, and seals it for the Braves and gets them to the NLCS in a year where I think most of us, if we were being honest, thought that they either weren't going to make the playoffs or were going to be bounced pretty handily by this Brewers starting rotation. Proud to say that I did believe in this team. And we had some big contributions from some other players. I want to talk about those too. Because the NLCS can go any number of ways. Much like the NLDS, the NLCS, no matter which of the two teams that the Braves play, are going to be set up to be very, very tough games. Now, I think it's tougher if it's the Dodgers, because I think the Dodgers have the offense to blitzkrieg you at any opportunity. You can look no further than their series with the Giants so far. The Dodgers have vastly outscored the Giants, and yet the Giants and the Dodgers are tied 2-2. I think the Dodgers have outscored them by like 9 runs so far, something crazy. And that's just what that offense can do when they get on a roll. And you're talking about at any point in the lineup, you're having to deal with Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, and Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger, who once the calendar hit October, figured out how to hit again. Will Smith, and I mean their Will Smith, who's a monster too. I mean they're a dominant team. They're one of the most deadly lineups I think I've ever seen. Because we're also talking about Corey Seager, who I didn't even mention there. They are a ridiculously talented team all the way through top to bottom, with Max Scherzer and Walker Buehler and Julio Urias. Whatever you think about him personally, he's an outstanding pitcher. Clayton Kershaw, if he can come back. Tony Gonsolin. I mean, you talk about that bullpen of Brusdar Graterol throwing 103-mile-an-hour sinkers. Blake Treinen, who's absolutely insane. Kenley Jansen. I mean, there is nothing, when you look at that Dodgers team on paper, there is no other team in baseball that looks like they should be able to match them. But that said, the Braves are a very well-balanced team this year, and they're a more well-balanced team than they were a year ago. They're a better team overall than they were a season ago. And they took the Dodgers all the way to the limit to 6 outs remaining to put the Dodgers away and the Braves get to the World Series. This year, the Braves don't have that same glaring weakness that they do in the starting rotation. And they got a big, big bonus in one Austin Riley, who had a very, very rough 2020, was frankly not good, had a bad 2019, had that crazy stretch to start his career, which really kind of lets you know just how bad he was when you consider that he ended at 85 WRC+. But this year he finally put it all together, and it didn't start out that way. Started out looking like it was going to be the same old Austin Riley and that the Braves were going to be in the third base market and that Riley had run his course here in Atlanta. Luckily for him and luckily for Braves fans, he just all of a sudden up and decided, oh, I'm tired of doing that. I'm tired of playing badly. It's time for me to start dominating. And from that point on, he did. He just went ahead and he did his thing. Finishes out the season with 33 homers, 107 ribbies for him, which I know is a big thing for him for your first 100 RBI season. 25.4% strikeout rate. It's a little bit higher than last year, but significantly lower than 2019. Found a way to bridge that gap. He cut his strikeout rate from 2019 and upped his walk rate to 7.9%. Now, he carried a super high BABIP at 368, which you might think is, well, not very sustainable. Now, it's pretty common in the course of his minor league career that he was up that high, but that just goes to show you how much harder he was hitting the ball and how much more he was barreling the baseball. High BABIPs don't always lie. A lot of the time they can. It can indicate a lot of luck, or it can indicate that you're hitting the ball extremely hard. The harder you hit the ball, the more likely you are to get on base. And his ISO kind of reflected that at 227. Ends the season with a 303, 367, 531 line. Also good for 135 WRC+. Z finished out his year at 4.2 F-WAR. And one of the things about what you got from Austin Riley isn't just that he played so well. It's also that it was such an unexpected jump. To go from a guy who was splitting time with Johan Camargo, who, even though I love Johan Camargo, we've seen the best of Johan already, and it was that 3.5 WAR season in 2018. He was splitting reps with Riley. We were talking about Pablo Sandoval potentially taking over the spot from him, Ere Adrianza taking over the spot. Basically, we were relegating Riley to, hey, we're going to let him be somebody else's problem. And for him to come out and just start blasting, and from that point on, being one of the main focal points of the offense, coming up huge in huge situations over and over and over, and making gigantic plays on the defensive end consistently, game in and game out. Even if the throws were sometimes a little erratic, even if he's not the rangiest when he's having to shift out there into right field, which frankly I don't think he should be doing, to see what he's been able to do in just a few short years just absolutely superb. And you guys know, I'm not one to back away from takes. I've been one that has said multiple times that I did not think Riley was a substantial big league player. I thought his bat was too slow. I thought he was in between. I did not think he was going to be able to hit this way. I thought he was going to have to pick power or average, either one. I didn't think he could do both. And instead, he's gone out there, and this year completely proved me wrong. Even if this is the best year of his career, Austin Riley has shown that he's not only is he the third baseman for the Braves, but he's a focal point for this team and can do a lot of things for this team. At this point, you could consider him maybe the third best player on the team. He might have jumped Ozzie Albies. Now, I think Ozzie Albies is the best second baseman in baseball from a pure talent perspective. Ozzie's been struggling a lot lately. I look for him to get going a little bit more in this postseason. Speaking of getting going, if you want to get going in the right way, the only way to get that done is through Built Bar. Built Bars are the best protein bars in the world. I tell you guys this all the time, pretty much every single episode, because it's true. They're delicious. They have the best texture for any protein bar I can possibly imagine. They are very, very good, very interesting. They're not typical flavors that you see from a protein bar. Talking about like salted caramel, which, oh, that's pretty common, all the way up to like chorizo or birthday cake. Or, I don't know, grasshopper. And I don't mean grasshopper as in, like, the bug. I mean grasshopper as in, you know, the Girl Scout cookie flavor grasshopper. There are all sorts of ridiculous flavors of these Built Bars, and they're amazing. And you don't really have to take my word for it. You can go to BuiltBar.com, and you can build a box. You can put all sorts of different flavors in that box. You can try them out for yourself. You'll see, I ain't lying to you. I'm not just pushing them because they pay me to do so. They are a fantastic product. I love my Built Bars. I'm a huge fan of the caramel ones. I'm a huge fan of caramel anything. I'm a huge fan of the caramel ones. I'm a huge, huge fan of the grasshopper ones. I've pretty much enjoyed every Built Bar I've tried. Maybe a couple here and there. Like, I'm not a big, I don't know. I'm not a big raspberry fan. So the raspberry cheesecake, probably not for me. But as far as any other flavors I've had, love them all. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get a nice surprise on your shipping. Just go to BuiltBar.com, build your box, and get started trying it today. Built Bar. Building the perfect protein bar. Okay, so for the final bit for today, before we kind of wrap this up and get ourselves geared up for the NLCS run here, let's take another moment here to focus on the pitching. So you can kind of see what the theme of today is just trying to focus on some of the guys that I feel really deserve a lot of the play and a lot of the love for what they've been able to do this year. Pitching-wise, there are so many different guys I could speak about. Any number of starters. I could talk about Charlie Morton. I could talk about Max Fried. Obviously, I could talk about Waskar Anoa because I can do that at any opportunity. I could talk about Will Smith. I could talk about, Chris Martin, who was not that great this year. I could talk about a lot of players. I could talk about a lot of pitchers in particular. But the guy that I really, really want to talk about, and I think Braves fans really need to give, I kind of like change the narrative on, is Luke Jackson. The rise of Luke Jackson from where he was in 2018 to where he sits in the mind of the Braves fans now, I've never seen a guy rise that quickly through the ranks and rise that high. Now, obviously, you've got guys that are, you know, Ronald Acuna or Ozzie or Freddie or Austin. These are going to be everybody's favorite players. Luke's probably not going to be anyone's number one favorite player. Might be a couple guys. Maybe a couple guys whose shows, whose podcasts he's gone on, maybe. But consistently speaking, he's not going to be that number one spot. Probably not the number two spot. But he is a guy that has gone from being an instant groan and turn off the TV type of guy to being basically in everybody's top five favorite Braves and playing a significant role for this team. And that, to me, that's one of my favorite parts about this game is you really realize that everybody that is in the majors is extremely talented. The best players on their teams growing up, the best players on their minor league teams, they are extremely, extremely talented players, and it's just more about whether they can make that extra adjustment that it takes to succeed at the big league level. And for Luke, he has done that better than just about any reliever I can ever remember seeing it happen for. For a guy that came in and he was the throwaway, he was the, you know, he's got the 95, he's got the cool movement and stuff, but he doesn't really know where it's going, gives up a lot of runs and all that good stuff. He was who you bring in when you're getting blown out. He was the just finish off this game type of guy. To now, I would say without a doubt, and I really don't think it's that arguable, he's the best reliever in the bullpen. Now, AJ Minter, surprise as well, has also been incredible, especially in the postseason. But AJ had that big stretch early in the year where he had to get sent down because he just lost it and lost it for multiple times. Tyler Matzek. Tyler Matzik's probably the guy in the bullpen who you're saying, if I can only pick one person to throw, it's going to be Tyler Matzek or it's going to be Luke Jackson. But for Luke, man, just well done, Luke Jackson, seriously. To see where he went from with a guy with interesting movement to a guy where he's the one that every Braves fan wants to see in the highest leverage situation. Guys, people that watch the games anyway, you still have that narrative going around about, oh, Luke Jackson's not good. That is a completely false narrative. It's not able to be, like, if you look at any of his numbers, if you watch him pitch, this is not Luke Jackson that you remember from 2018. This Luke Jackson has realized, this is the first round pick type of Luke Jackson. Now, this is one who has figured out exactly who he is and exactly how to get people out. And not only that, it's not just how good he's done. You also have to give him credit because the sliders that you're starting to see in the organization, Waskar's slider, Spencer Strider's slider, probably see it a little bit more with some of these other young guys. The sliders that they're implementing are learned directly from Luke Jackson. That's how good his slider is, and that's how big a role this guy can play on this team. And when you look at him and you look at his StatCast data, it doesn't paint a very rosy picture. He tends to get hit kind of hard, which is a little bit crazy when you consider what he has. But you look at his overall line, and sometimes I think we can get a little too caught up in the colorful measure markers for StatCast and kind of make us overlook what we're actually seeing. But in 63 and two-thirds innings for Jackson this year, almost 10 strikeouts per nine, did have kind of high walks at 4 walks per nine. That's actually down from 2020, but significantly up from 2019 where he was incredible at that. Luke tends to switch off, and he tends to be great every odd year. AJ tends to be better in the even years like the Giants. But for Luke, stranded over 90% of base runners, 52.5% ground ball rates, ERA under 2. The FIP was 3.66, so there was some luck involved there, for sure. But just went out there day in and day out and just mowed people down and played a very big role, bigger role than most of us assumed he was going to have at this point last year. We probably thought that Chris Martin and Will Smith would be kind of the two main pieces out of that bullpen, maybe Tyler Matzek as well. And Tyler Matzek was too, but Chris Martin kind of losing it a little bit kind of cost him. But well done, Luke Jackson. What a season for Luke Jackson, and what a character. Just really, really proud to see what he's been as a guy that I essentially would compare to like a Chris Rietsma, as a guy who as soon as he got into the game, you knew it was over and he was getting blasted, to a guy that you count among the best shutdown guys you can remember for Braves relievers. Just fantastic season for many, many of these guys. Can't say enough about this team and what they were able to do and how they were able to put this season together and how they were able to go on a run like this that was completely unexpected across the national landscape. Once Acuna went down, 90% of national landscape was, all right, Braves are done. I mean, 90% of national landscape, probably 65 to 75% of the Braves fan base was like, all right, this team is done. So well done on this team. Going forward, how do they match up with the Giants and the Dodgers? I'm not going to spend a lot of I'm not going to spend any time talking about that today. Today, I just want to revel in the fact that we got to the NLCS, and this is one of those that all the games are very close, very tight, very good games against a very, very good Brewers team in a very well-matched season series here, or a very well-matched series. And I'm excited to move to the NLCS for a team that I genuinely would have been completely at ease if they had lost the series too. I wouldn't have been disappointed. I would have thought that team had achieved what they could have achieved anyway. And for them to go out and win with this roster and with everything they faced this year, this is one of those seasons where this could be a truly, truly special season. So everybody else out there, continue enjoying that we're in the NLCS. Take every bit of it. Don't take it for granted. Don't get too caught up in how they perform here. We'll talk tomorrow about the matchups in between because we'll preview that Giants and Dodgers game tomorrow. And we'll talk about how the Braves stack up with both. Hint, hint, they stack up better with the Giants as proven in the season series. But for today, just enjoy the fact that we've already wrapped up moving on to the next round and we're one of the final four. And anytime you're in the final four, you got a chance. You just got to get yourself there. And for the Braves, they got us there. And for those of you out there listening, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We will be back here tomorrow, right here on Locked On Braves.